Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, the 20th of May, Sri Lanka prepares to mark the one-month anniversary of coordinated suicide bomb attacks that killed more than 250 people. Ukraine's new president calls a snap election. But first, Pope Francis urges members of the Pontifical Institute for Foreign Missions to proclaim the gospel with passion and a sense of urgency. In the Vatican, I'm Lydia O'Kane. Pope Francis today, Monday, urged members of the Pontifical Institute for Foreign Missions to proclaim the gospel with passion and a sense of urgency. Devon Watkins reports.
The Pontifical Institute for Foreign Missions, or PIME, was founded in Italy in 1850 as a society of diocesan priests and laypeople who dedicate their lives to missionary activities. Pope Francis met Monday with participants in the Institute's 15th General Assembly, reminding them of the co-responsibility of all dioceses to spread the gospel to peoples who do not yet know Jesus Christ. He said that at the time PIME was founded, this was a new idea promoted by Pope Pius IX. Previously, most missionary work was carried out by religious orders. Members of PIME, on the other hand, consecrate their lives to foreign missions through a promise rather than by taking the vows of religion. Pope Francis said the Institute's history is marked by the luminous rays of holiness of many of its members, 19 of whom gave their lives as martyrs.
Siete una famiglia di apostoli.
The Pope noted that the work of evangelization is the proper grace and vocation of your Institute. And he reminded PIME members that the mission ad gentes is not theirs to possess, because the driving impulse comes from God alone.
Solo implorando questa iniziativa possiamo anche noi diventare con lui e in lui evangelizzatori.
Only by inserting ourselves into this divine initiative, he said, may we too become evangelizers with him and in him. Pope Francis praised the PIME General Assembly for seeking to put the mission at the center of the community's life, and he encouraged a sense of passion and urgency for missionary activity.
Non temiamo di intraprendere con fiducia in Dio.
Let us not fear to undertake a missionary option capable of transforming everything, he said, so that the Church's customs, ways of doing things, times and schedules, language and structures can be suitably channeled for the evangelization of today's world. I'm Devon Watkins.
Tomorrow, May 21st, will mark the one-month anniversary of coordinated suicide bomb attacks on three churches and three hotels that killed more than 250 people and injured some 500. One of the churches targeted was St. Anthony's Shrine in the capital, Colombo. Father Jude Raj Fernando, the rector of the shrine, spoke to Amadeo Lamonaco of Vatican News about the mood among Catholics nearly a month after the April 21st bombing.
From the very first day, we never gave up our faith. We continue to pray and celebrate Mass inside the shrine, because our God is not a God of revenge, He's a God of love. The Lord said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. Love one another as I have loved you. We extend our hands and we pray for them, for their repentance, that the Lord may touch their lives, hearts, they may come back and accept God as a God of love and mercy. I mean, the Sri Lankan community has come together, irrespective of their religion, caste, language, and we are showing the power in our prayer, especially the rosary and the mass. We don't want any other weapons to carry, but we have a most powerful weapon given by our Blessed Mother. So we recite the rosary daily and celebrate Mass daily. That's how the Christian community has come together. His Holiness Pope Francis is very close to us. There is closeness between the Sri Lankan Catholic community and the Holy Mother Church. St. Anthony Shrine in Padua, Basilica in Padua, has a close link with this shrine, and they have done a lot of things here. On Wednesday, we are going to receive His Eminence Cardinal Filoni to this shrine. So that shows the Universal Church. They have not abandoned us, and they are praying for us and all the other people in other dioceses, in Ireland, in England, in America, in Australia, in all the places they are celebrating Mass, and then they are praying for us. That is the spirit, the universal spirit that we have, and we are very grateful to all of them.
Ahead of this week's European elections, the bishops of Ireland are urging citizens to vote in an informed and conscientious way. They're also reminding those going to the polls of the EU's Christian heritage. John Waters has more.
With the European parliamentary elections taking place from the 23rd to 26th of May, the Catholic Bishops' Conference of Ireland has released a statement highlighting the Christian values which motivated the founding of the European Union. In addition to new members of Parliament, this election will see the appointment of a new president of the European Commission, with six candidates in the running for the position. Highlighting the right and privilege of each citizen to exercise their vote, the Irish bishops note the potential wide-reaching effects of the elections, saying, "Politics is local, it is also regional, national, European and international. What is decided by MEPs in the European Parliament affects us all here on the island of Ireland. Similarly, our vote and our elected representatives in Europe can influence debates and decisions taken at EU level, which often have the potential to contribute to the development and peace of the wider world." Acknowledging the fact that the Brexit issue evokes many strong emotions on all sides of the argument, the statement invites voters to look honestly and critically at where the European Union has fallen short of realising its fundamental values. The statement concludes with a call not to disengage from the European project, and suggesting that it is now more important than ever that the Irish people take part in these elections. The bishops invoke not only their own Christian heritage but that of the European Union, saying, "In looking to the future of Europe with hope, we remember the Irish missionary St. Columbanus, who has been described as Ireland's first European, and we remember Edith Stein, St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, the co-patroness of Europe, who suffered and died as a result of war in Europe. We hope never to see such horror again. The European project, its institutions and political methods are key to promoting and consolidating lasting peace."
Moscow says it hopes that the new Ukrainian president will help normalise ties with Russia amid an ongoing conflict in eastern Ukraine that killed up to 13,000 people. The announcement came after comedian and television star Volodymyr Zelensky was sworn in today, Monday, as president and immediately disbanded the Ukrainian parliament, as Stefan Boss reports.
The telegenic comedian Volodymyr Zelensky used his camera experience to greet the crowds in the capital Kiev, making selfies and going as far as kissing spectators on their forehead. Soon after, he was sworn in as president of Ukraine, a former Soviet nation facing many social challenges, including economic difficulties and an ongoing conflict with neighboring Russia. The 41-year-old Zelensky used his inaugural speech to make a dramatic announcement. "I dissolve the Verkhovna Rada, the parliament of the 8th convocation," he says, adding, "Glory to Ukraine." This bending parliament was among his campaign promises. Zelensky had branded the body as a group of people only interested in self-enrichment. Before he made the announcement, Zelensky asked the parliament to adopt a bill against illegal enrichment. And he demanded support for his motion to fire the country's defense minister, the head of the Ukrainian security service, and the prosecutor general. All officials are allies of former president Petro Poroshenko, who lost the presidential election in a landslide to the comedian, who had no previous political experience. President Zelensky also told legislators that he wanted to reach out to Russia to bring peace to eastern Ukraine, where government troops have been fighting Russia-backed separatists for 5 years. The United Nations estimate that some 13,000 people have been killed, a quarter of them civilians, in that conflict. Zelensky says that the primary goal of his presidency is to bring peace in eastern Ukraine, also referred to as Donbas. And he says, "We are ready for dialogue with Russia, but only after all Ukrainian prisoners have been returned." The comedian-turned-president adds that the next challenge will be returning the territories that he believes have been occupied by Russia and pro-Russian separatists, including eastern Ukraine and the Crimean Peninsula. Speaking both in Ukrainian and Russian, he makes clear that all people living there should feel part of Ukraine.
"Втратити те, що і так наше по праву.
In a reaction, the Kremlin said Russian President Vladimir Putin doesn't plan to send congratulations to Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky following his official swearing-in earlier. A spokesman said Putin would only congratulate Zelensky on the first successes in settling the conflict in eastern Ukraine and normalizing relations with Russia. For Vatican News, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
Doctors have started withdrawing the life support of a quadriplegic man in France. Vincent Lambert has been in a vegetative state since being involved in an accident in 2008 and is currently at a hospital in Rennes. The Archbishop of Rennes, Eric de Moulin-Beaufort, said in a statement that it is the honour of a human society not to let one of its members die of hunger or thirst and to do everything possible to maintain the appropriate treatment until the end. To allow oneself to renounce it because such a cure has a cost or because it would be useless to let the human person live would ruin the effect of our civilization. The greatest of humanity consists in considering the dignity of its members, especially the most vulnerable, as inalienable and invaluable, he said. The UN's Committee on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities had urged France to intervene and delay the move to switch off life support while they investigate his case further. A gang of gunmen reportedly attacked a bar in the capital of Brazil's northern Pará state at the weekend, killing 11 people. The state security agency confirmed late last night that 6 women and 5 men died in the incident in the Guama neighbourhood of the Pará state capital, Belém. In late March, the federal government sent National Guard troops to Belém to reinforce security in the city for 90 days. May 20th is World Bee Day. The day aims to raise awareness of the importance of pollinators, the threats they face, and their contribution to sustainable development. Abram Bixler from the Food and Agriculture Organization spoke about the importance of pollinators for ensuring the world's food security and the threats faced.
The figures are not looking very good for bees and pollinators. And when we talk about pollinators, a lot of people think of honeybees, which is a really important part of agriculture, but there are many, many diverse wild pollinators as well. So about 20,000 different bee species, insects, and other vertebrates, other animals like bats and hummingbirds, and even monkeys can be pollinators. And so when we look across pollinators, there are many threats facing pollinators. And globally, they're facing a real decline. Managed honeybees, so the number of honeybees are actually increasing, but the wild pollinators across the world are decreasing. And even the honeybees are facing many threats. And there's a lot of issues facing those as well. It's really a combination of factors kind of all coming together, all of which are driven by human activity. So climate change is a factor, habitat loss is a factor, the overuse of pesticides is a big factor, but also there are many diseases and pests as well that are affecting our pollinators. And so when those are taken together, yeah, pollinators are really facing a hard time.
Well, that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter. Many thanks goes to Adriano Vitali in the studio in the Vatican. Thank you for joining us.